Hello, everyone. We are continuing on with Chapel Library's publication of Charles Spurgeon's All of Grace. And last time we began an appendix that Chapel Library put on at the end of the main book, All of Grace. And it's called The Comer's Conflict with Satan. And it was a sermon from Mr. Spurgeon. And he used the verse from Luke 9:42. And as he was yet a-coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. And we began, he had a brief introduction, and then he was going to break it up into four main points: the devil's doings, designs, discovery, and defeat. And last time we did the devil's doings. And his main points were that he does this by perverting the truth of God. And he went through how he does it with the doctrine of election, and then doctrine of depravity, effectual calling, final perseverance, and redemption. The second point was where Satan comes and tells you horrible falsehoods about God and the like. And then the third was, he tries applying all threatening passages in God's word to you. And that brought us to the end of the devil's doings. And Lord willing, for this reading, we're going to continue on with his next main point. I'll go ahead and begin. And he says, point number two, let me dwell for a moment or two upon the second point, the devil's design. Why does he throw the coming soul down and tear it? Why does he do this? First, because he does not like to lose it. No king will willingly lose his subjects, said Apollyon to a Christian when he stretched himself across the road. And I swear, thou shalt go no farther. Here will I spill thy soul. And I believe he's referring to John Bunyan's The Pilgrim's Progress with that. There he stood vowing vengeance at him because he had escaped from his dominion. Do you suppose that Satan would lose his subjects one by one and not be wroth or angry? Assuredly not. As soon as he sees a soul hurrying off to the wicket gate, that's wicket gate, and again, I believe that's reference to Pilgrim's Progress, with his eyes fixed on the light, away go all hell's dogs after him. There is another of my subjects going. My empire is being thinned. My family is being diminished. And he tries with his might to and main to bring the soul back again. The poor soul. Ah, soul, don't be deceived by him. His design is to throw you down. He does not tell you these things to do you good or to humble you, but in order to keep you from coming to Christ and decoy you into his net, where he may utterly destroy you. Sometimes I believe he has the vile design of inducing poor souls to make away with themselves before they have faith in Christ. I believe he's referring to suicide. This is an extreme case, but I have met with not a few who have been thus tempted to take away their lives and rush before their Maker with their hands red with their own blood. For Satan knows full well that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him, including self-murder. But he never accomplishes his design in the soul of one elect sinner yet. Then Satan has another motive. When the soul is coming to Christ, he tries, out of spite, to worry that soul. Satan's heart is made up of that which is just the opposite of benevolence. It's malevolence. He hates everything and loves nothing. He hates to see any creature happy, any soul glad. And when he sees a soul coming to Christ, he says, "Ah, I have nearly lost him. I shall never have an opportunity of bringing thundering condemnation into his ears and dragging him about in the flames of hell as I thought. And now, before he is gone, I will do something. The last grip shall be a hard one. The last blow shall be dealt with all my power. And then down he comes upon the poor soul, who falls wallowing upon the earth in despair and doubt. And then he tears him and will not leave him until he has worked as much of his way with him as the Lord will let him. Don't be afraid, child of God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And even though he may cast you to the ground, remember that the righteous falls many times, but he rises up again, and so you shall, and the designs of the enemy shall be frustrated, as it is written, thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee. All right, that was the devil's design. He continues, in the third place, there is the devil's discovery. I do not think the devil would be able to throw one poor sinner to the ground if he came as the devil, but it is seldom he does that. He represents himself as an angel of light, or even as the Holy Spirit. He knows that the Holy Spirit does all the work of salvation, and therefore he tries to counterfeit the operations of the Holy Ghost. He knows it is the Holy Spirit's work to take away pride from man and to humble the soul. Well, Satan counterfeits that blessed work and takes away hope from man as well as pride. Under the pretense of humbling the poor sinner and telling him that he ought to lie lower in the dust, he not only humbles the poor soul, but he puts it down so low that he dishonors God too, in the sinner's estimation, by telling him that God himself cannot save him. Satan will try, if he can, to mar God's work while it is yet upon the potter's wheel, by putting on his own instrument while the clay is whirling round upon the wheel, that it may not assume the Holy Ghost's shape, but that there may be some marks of the devil's workmanship in the article. Sometimes you ask God that you may be able to agonize in prayer. That is right, says Satan, agonize in prayer. But remember, you must now receive the mercy or you are lost. So he glides in and adds a little piece to the truth, making you believe it is an impulse of the Holy Spirit, while it is, after all, a deception of the father of lies. The Holy Ghost tells you that you are a lost sinner and undone. Ah, says the devil, you are, and you cannot be saved. And thus again, under the very garb of the Spirit's operations, he deceives the soul. It is my firm belief that very much of the experience of a Christian is not Christian experience. Many Christians experience things that have nothing to do with Christianity, but more to do with demonology. When you read the convictions of John Bunyan, you may think that all that terror was the fruit of the Holy Spirit, but be assured it was the fruit of satanic influence, or at least some of it. You may think it is God's Holy Spirit that drives sinners to despair and keeps them shut up in the iron cage so long. Not at all. There was God's Holy Spirit, and then Satan came in to mar the work if he could. Now I will give the poor sinner a means of detecting Satan so that he may know whether his convictions are from the Holy Spirit or merely the bellowing of hell in his ears. Now, in the first place, you may be always sure that that which comes from the devil will make you look at yourselves and not at Christ. The Holy Spirit's work is to turn our eyes from ourselves to Jesus Christ, but the enemy's work is the very opposite. 9 out of 10 of the insinuations of the devil have to do with ourselves. You are guilty, says the devil. That is self. You have not faith. That is self. You do not repent enough. That is self. You have got such a wavering hold of Christ. That is self. You have none of the joy of the Spirit, and therefore cannot be one of his. That is self. And thus the devil begins picking holes in us, whereas the Holy Spirit takes self entirely away and tells us that we are nothing at all, but that Jesus Christ is all in all. Satan brings the carcass of self and pulls it about, and because that is corrupt, tells us that most assuredly we cannot be saved. But remember, sinner, it is not your hold of Christ that saves you. It is Christ. It is not your joy in Christ that saves you. It is Christ. It is not even faith in Christ, though that is the instrument. It is Christ's blood and merits. And therefore, look not so much to your hand with which you are grasping Christ as to Christ. Look not to your hope, but to Christ, the source of your hope. Look not to your faith, but to Christ, the author and finisher of your faith. And if you do that, 10,000 devils cannot throw you down, but as long as you look at yourself, the meanest or lowest of those evil spirits may tread you beneath his feet. You may discern the devil's insinuations in another way. They generally reflect upon some attribute of God. Sometimes they reflect upon his love and tell you that God will not save you. Sometimes upon his long suffering, and they tell you that you are too old and that God won't save you. And sometimes upon his sovereignty, and they tell you that God does not choose as he wills, but that he has respect to characters and takes men according to their merits. And sometimes they reflect upon God's truth, and they tell you that he will not keep his promise, and sometimes they reflect upon the very being of God and tell you that there is not such a one. But, oh, poor trembling soul, Satan shall not get an advantage over you, but take care, detect him. And when you have found out the devil, you have frustrated his aims as far as you are yourself concerned. And that was the end of point 3, the devil's discovery. And then point 4, now in the last place, we have to consider the devil's defeat. How was he defeated? Jesus rebuked him. Beloved, there is no other way for us to be saved from the castings down of Satan but the rebuke of Christ. Oh, says one poor soul, many months and years have I been distressed for fear that I should not be saved. I have gone from place to place in hopes that some minister might say something which should rebuke the evil spirit. Sister or beloved brother, have you not been doing wrong? Is it not Jesus who rebukes the evil spirit? Or perhaps you have been trying to rebuke the evil spirit yourself. You have tried to argue and dispute with him. You have said that you are not so vile as he described you to be. Beloved, have you not been doing wrong? It is not your business to rebuke Satan. The Lord rebuke thee. That is what you should say. Oh, if you had looked to Jesus and said, Lord, rebuke him, he had only need to say, hush, and the demon, so hush to Satan, or the demon, and the demon would have been still in a moment, for he knows how omnipotent Jesus is, the devil does, since he feels his power. Satan feels Christ's power. But you get striving to pacify your own heart when you are under these temptations, instead of remembering that it is Jesus only who can remove the affliction. If I had one here who suffered the most from this ailment, the possession of Satan, I would say to him, beloved, sit down, remember Jesus, go to Gethsemane, and depend upon it, the devil will never stay there with you. Think on the agonies of your Savior covered with his blood. The devil cannot bear Christ's blood. He goes howling away at the very thought of it. Go to the pavement where Christ endured the accursed flagellation. The devil will not stay long there with you. And if you sit at the foot of the cross and say, oh, how sweet to view the flowing of his ever-precious blood, You will not long find the devil vexing you. It is no use to get praying simply. Prayer is good in itself, but that is not the way to get rid of Satan. It is thinking of Christ. And that can be done during prayer as well. We get saying, "Oh, that I had stronger faith. Oh, that I had love to Jesus." It is good for a Christian to say that, but it is not enough. The way to overcome Satan and to have peace with God is through Christ. "I am the way," Christ said. "If you would know the way, come to Christ. I am the truth. If you would refute the devil's lies, come to the truth, Christ. I am the life," Christ said. "If you would be spared from Satan's killing, come to Jesus." There is one thing which we, all of us, too much becloud in our preaching, though I believe we do it very unintentionally, namely, the great truth that it is not prayer, it is not faith, it is not our doings, it is not our feelings upon which we must rest, but upon Christ and on Christ alone, where we rest. We are apt to think that we are not in a right state, that we do not feel enough, instead of remembering that our business is not with self, but with Christ. Our business is only with Christ. O soul, if you could fix your soul on Jesus and neglect everything else, if you could but despise good works and ought or anything else, so far as they relate to your salvation, and look wholly or fully and simply on Christ, I tell you, Satan would soon give up throwing you down. He would find it would not answer his purpose, for you would fall on Christ, and like the giant who fell upon his mother, the earth, so to speak, you would rise up each time stronger than before. Have I then within hearing one poor, tried, tempted, devil-dragged soul? Has Satan been pulling you through the thorns and briars and thickets until you are scarred and bruised? Come now, I have tried to preach a rough sermon to you because I knew I had rough work to do with roughly used souls. Is there nothing here, poor sinner, that you can lay hold upon? Are you so locked up that not one ray of light comes through the iron bars? What? Are you so chained that you cannot move hand or foot? Why, man or woman, I have brought you a pitcher and a piece of bread, so like a pitcher of water, I believe, and a piece of bread today, even in your dungeon. Though you are cast down, there is a little here to comfort you in what I have said. But oh, if my master would come, he would bring more than that, for he would rebuke the unclean spirit, and it would immediately depart from you. Let me beseech you, look only to Christ. Never expect deliverance from self, from Satan, from ministers, or from means of any kind apart from Christ. Keep your eye simply on him. Let his death, his agonies, his groans, his sufferings, his merits, his glories, his intercession be fresh upon your mind. And when you wake in the morning, look for him. When you lie down at night, look for him. And of course, throughout the day. Oh, let not your hopes and fears come between you and Christ. Seek only Christ. And let the hymn we sang, I guess they sang a hymn, be your hymn and your prayer. Lord, deny me what thou wilt, only ease me of my guilt. Prostrate at thy feet I lie, give me Christ, or else I die. And then, even though the devil throw you down and tear you, it were better he should do so now than that he should tear you forever. I have some here, however, who will laugh at what I have been preaching this morning. Ah, sirs, you may do so, but bitter though my text may be, I wish you had it in your mouths. Though sad be the experience of being torn when coming to Christ. I had rather see you so than see you whole or all away from Christ. It is better to be rent in pieces coming to the Savior than to have a sound, a whole, or complete heart away from Him. Tremble, sinner, tremble, for if you come not to Christ, He shall rend you at last, or in the end, He shall rend you. His eye shall not pity, neither shall His hand spare you. He has said, Beware ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Sirs, within another hour, and some of you may know this, certainly before long, there are some who will be torn in pieces by the wrath of God. Why will you die? Why will you die? You cannot answer the question, I think, but let it rest upon your hearts. What profit will you have in your own blood? What will you profit if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? Remember, Jesus Christ can save even you. Believe on His name, you convinced sinners. Believe on Christ. The Lord bless you for Jesus' sake. Amen. And amen. Thank the Lord. All right, that brings us to the end of that fourth section, The Devil's Defeat, and to the end of the sermon, The Comer's Conflict with Satan. And that does indeed conclude the reading of All of Grace from Charles Spurgeon, the Chapel Library's publication, which you can contact them for. You can get it on their website. They have a price, but they will send free literature to you. And we're very thankful to God and to them for this great resource that they provide. But now, go, we pray, recognizing your sin and a need of a Savior, and believing in the only Savior, Jesus Christ. Go seeking Him diligently and earnestly, and He promises you will find Him. Ask Him for belief and repentance, as these things are of Him and from Him, and seek daily to grow in His graces daily. May we seek daily to grow in His graces daily, through prayer and the reading of His word. Amen. And may God's graces and mercies be with you.